Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 46 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing, highlighting the transformational moments that has changed our lives and how we're using these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, those are reserved for special pop-up episodes for my guests that I'm highlighting something amazing that's going on in their life, a book launch, a product launch, an event that they're speaking at. So today is the day for the special pop-up episode. So thank you for joining us. If you don't want to miss an episode, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're currently listening. On my show, I have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my guest today does exactly that. Please welcome to the show, Joshua T. Berglund. What is up, my friend?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Dude, thanks for coming on the show, man. You are a impact player for sure, man. So I am honored to have you on the show.
Oh, man, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, dude, we met back in Vegas and I totally, like, we had talked for a second, you know, like, it's so much chaos going on, right, at events and everything, but I remember, I'm like, dude, that guy killed it, and then we ended up reconnecting, like, oh, wait, you were there, we're, holy crap, okay, and then I was like, dude, you gotta come on the show, let's do this, so, you know, it's funny how paths cross, and people meet, and then, you know, here we are.
I know, it was funny, that, and that event was chaos.
Yeah, dude.
It was hard to know which way it was going and which way it was coming. But yeah, that was right. A pretty chaotic event. But I do remember. And when we reconnected, it was like, oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So
yeah,
I'm really, really happy to be on the show, man. It's an absolute blessing. Thank you.
Perfect. And so any of the listeners that are listening, this is a live show. If you're catching us at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, and you can call into the show at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. You can talk to myself, the guests, ask any questions that you need to, and my team is standing by to weed out all of the trolls. So let's get
I love
started.
Trolls.
They keep me employed.
Oh my God.
Today's episode is titled Brand Development and Strategic Planning with Joshua T. Berglund. Joshua is a TV, radio, and event host, master of ceremonies, speaker, and a dream designer as CEO of Live Mana, right? Live Mana Worldwide.
Live Mana.
Okay.
Worldwide.
Live Mana. I didn't want to mess that up. Okay, Live Mana Worldwide, which specializes in brand development, strategic planning, and partnerships. He has a gift for creating synergy between products, brands, and people he represents. He utilizes his business development experience and esteemed connections to birth strategic partnerships to promote his client. Joshua's ventures in business development, speaking, hosting, radio, and film are all rooted in his belief that his purpose is to serve others. For 22 years, he fought for the rights of the disabled as the vice president of Medical Specialty Supply of Oklahoma and as director of business development and director of contracting for New Motion. In his roles, Joshua negotiated contracts ensuring patients received proper complex rehab medical equipment, met with heads of major insurance companies across the country, and helped to change the laws on behalf of the disabled. He has also processed over $1.5 million per month in sales orders. His production credits include the 2016 and 2017 official Daytime Emmys gifting sweep, the 2016 and 2017 Oscars viewing party, and the 2015 ESPYs gifting suite, along with the 2017 Los Angeles City Gala and the 2017 Breeders' Cup after party. You can go to the website, livemanaworldwide.com. He is also the host of the Morning Gratitude and the Live Mana Worldwide podcast. You can find him on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. They're all there. Bro, Badass does not begin to cover what I just read. Not even begin.
No.
You are a freaking rock star, dude.
I appreciate the love, man. Thank you. For me, honestly, it's just about showing up, and like I show up with the attitude of how can I help you? I'm not real good at talking about myself and promoting myself or even making it where I'm, you know, you asked me for the elevator pitch. Like I am not somebody that enjoys the question, what do you do? And I literally tried to simplify it by saying I'm a dream designer, because people go, well, what the heck is that? And then it allows me to say, God gave me the gift of vision, and I see how everything connects. I see everybody at their highest self. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke up your butt. I'm saying it because it's the truth. I see everybody at their highest self. So whether you bring me a product or somebody's a brand, or it's just I'm having a casual conversation with a friend, I get these downloads. And I'm able to see what everyone's greatness is. And it's not just seeing that, it's also seeing the path to help them get there. Now, that has been my biggest curse in business, is that a lot of people are terrified to step into their greatness, to do what they were called to do. And that is a big obstacle for me in business, is that my gift scares the crap out of people.
Wow.
Including the same vision I got for my life when I was 7 years old. I've been terrified of it up until about a year. Yeah, really, it's been about 2.5 years now. But I have to really, really work to remove every limiting belief that I have, every obstacle that gets in my way. I have to know that that's the enemy coming at me, and it's not going to knock me off of my path, because I know that I have a higher purpose, but I also believe that for everyone on the planet.
You know, when I was 7, I wanted to be a farmer. That didn't happen. Like I wanted to be a farmer. And then at 15, there was like $250,000 for a tractor. I was like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And I just talked myself out of it. I wonder how many people talk themselves out of dreams on a daily basis. I definitely talked myself out of mine. You know, I wanted to be like a huge farmer. I wanted to have thousands and thousands of acres and sell groceries to like Walmart or something. You know what I mean? But I've never
That's
been a farmer.
Awesome.
I've only had these little itty bitty gardens.
But I
would have been awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wanted chickens and cows and horses. Like I wanted like a ranch. Like I wanted like a huge farm, but just the price tag of the equipment was like, nope, I'll never afford that. No, never mind. And I've never done it. And I
okay.
Know if I ever
so,
will.
In comparison, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be on the radio or about to have a TV show. Because I grew up in Oklahoma, speaking of farm, and I grew up in Oklahoma sitting in front of the TV watching infomercials, watching Larry King, watching Oprah, listening to Don Imus, listening to Howard Stern when, you know, that happened when I moved away. But, you know, I'd watch the TV show when it used to be on E! And I'd be like, I want to do this. And even though I'm so passionate, even to this day, about fighting on behalf of people that can't fight for themselves and being a voice for the voiceless. That passion has never died. But when people would ask me what I wanted to do when I was working in complex rehab medical equipment, what a lot of people don't know what that is. Basically, it means providing equipment for people with ALS, muscular dystrophy, spinal cord injuries, quadriplegics, people like that. So, or amputees. And I was very passionate, still get geeked out when I see wheelchairs, But when people would ask me, like, if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? And I'd said, oh, I want to be a radio and TV host. And that was really, at that time, I still wasn't really pursuing what I was called to do or living a life that I'm even proud of. But that's what I wanted to do. I liked entertaining people. I liked interviewing people and getting messages from people that, you know, or bringing out the best in others, helping elevate their message was something that I was just always passionate about. And I never thought it was possible because I was always in sales. I'm like, I'm not going to broadcasting school. I make too much money in sales. There's no way in heck I would do this. Well, so I didn't go to broadcasting school, but I got a wild hair one day and decided that, you know, I'm going to start doing daily gratitude on Facebook Live. And after hearing TD Jakes talk about focusing on what you do have instead of what you don't, I decided, you know what? Fox Business, my show on Fox Business fell through, so screw it. You know, I don't have the money. I don't have a production crew. I don't have any of the fancy studio stuff, but I do have a camera and I have Wi-Fi, and I'm going to intentionally do the show like it's a real thing to prove that this concept will work on TV. And 5.5 months later, I've been very, very blessed to see what started on a phone grow to almost 20 platforms globally.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, as a resilience trainer, when I hear gratitude, I'm like, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Because what I teach is a gratitude. And I say three blessings every single day, morning, noon, night, whatever you got to do. And then for example, if you were to hashtag counting blessings, you'll see myself and a bunch of my students and mentees that I've coached over the years doing this gratitude challenge where it's literally hashtag counting blessings and then whatever your blessings are for the day. And if you count three blessings a day for 66 days, you have 198 blessings that you're thankful for. And most people at like blessing number 60, which you try to do all in one sitting, would be like, I'm thankful for air. And like they would be stuck. So three blessings a day for 66 days, you make it like a Facebook group, like gratitude challenge. And that's what we've done in the past is do a Facebook group gratitude challenge for 66 days. And then at the end of that, you have 198 things that you're thankful for. And dude, that changed lives when I did that.
You know about the gratitude hack, right?
I'm not sure.
You don't stop at what you're grateful for. So you say, like, I live in San Diego in Little Italy. And so I'd say, well, I'm grateful that I live in a city that I can walk everywhere. Why? Well, because I'm stressed out, I can get out and walk. Why is that important? You know, just asking why after every statement until you
What's
run
great
out
about
of stuff.
This?
It really helps you feel the gratitude instead of just head like, It's so easy just to say, I'm grateful for my home. I'm grateful for the food on my plate. Right. I'm grateful for my friend. But why? And the why? And why? And the more you ask why, the more you start to really feel it. And you feel it in your bones. And you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your soul. And it really does affect you another level than just saying, I'm grateful for this.
Dude, I love that. So speaking of that, what is your why? What is your big why for wanting to help people and everything that you've done in your life? Has your why changed throughout each job, or do you have one sole focus of this is my why in life?
I don't think it's any coincidence that my name's Joshua.
Okay.
I was born, I love saying this, but it's true. I really felt like I was born to be a leader of men and men being man and woman.
Right.
I felt like the body, the presence, the energy, the presence that I have, if you've ever been around me, people just gravitate towards my energy.
Yes.
The flip side is, or it scares the crap out of people because if my energy shifts, it's a pretty scary energy. When I was 7 years old, I was molested by two men and was proceeded to be molested, you know, by men and women after that. But, that That all started after my sisters disappeared. And then, of course, my father started physically abusing myself, my brother, my mom. And I had a pretty traumatic childhood. But every time something happened, I would get this vision of being on stage or, you know, like, I didn't really know how to identify what it was, except for that I would see something that offered hope. And it didn't really ever become clear until I got older. But the side part of that is as I got older and I quit, I wasn't using my voice. I wasn't saying, hey, I'm being hurt. I'm being, you know, this is happening to me. Because we had to present ourselves in a certain way when we would show up at church or show up at the country club. And, you know, my mom was Mrs. Yep. America and my father, you know, was a, you know, well-known businessman and, you know, was a rock star in the 60s. And, you know, like we had this way that we had to present ourselves to the public. And so I didn't, even though I have a voice now, I didn't have a voice then. And so by suppressing that voice, a lot of what would come out of me was angst and anger and rage. Mm-hmm. And thank God for sports, because I swear to you, man, like football, I was just able to, I think my anger made me a better athlete than I really was, because wow. I just physically would dominate people. And that was great everywhere except the golf course. it worked in baseball. It worked everywhere but golf. But awesome. So I ran from my gifts when I started. Every time I would hit what I perceived was rock bottom, where I felt like I just wanted to, you know, I started cutting when I was 13, 14 years old. I had nowhere to put my wow. rage. Sports became not enough. And the whole time it was just like, I'm running from this thing that I would be. And I would try to turn my life around, but then I would let peer pressure. I would let, you know, being a teenager, and I would try to go to church and like, listen, I'm like, okay, now I'm a Christian. And then the minute one of my friends would tease me about it, I go, no, never mind. Screw it. I'm going to start smoking cigarettes and drinking and just being a jerk. And like, I did this yo-yo thing forever where I would get to this breaking point where I'm just hurting myself and I'm hurting other people and there was no outlet. And then I'm like, make this head decision to change. And then the minute someone would come up to me and say, you're always going to be, this, or you're always going to be that, I'd go, yeah, you're right. And when sports were over for me, there was no outlet at all. And I turned to drugs and sex and, just everything mischievous I could think of. And every time that I would get in trouble, like I've been in jail 6 times for, DUI, DUI fighting, domestic issues, got arrested. When I was married, the first time I was married, I was very active in my addiction and I got arrested with an escort or what I thought was an escort. But again, and like all these tragic things would happen. I'm like, okay, I'm going to change now. And I'm going to start doing, mm-hmm. I'm going to start trying to live this purpose, like to start doing what I was called to do. And cause I knew it then, but I wasn't willing to do the work to stay the course. I wasn't willing to put in the work of like reading and training my mind with the good things because I was so comfortable in the darkness. I was so comfortable with just the just honestly evil. I mean, yeah. I don't really know any other word. That's where for a long time where I felt safe because I felt like they understood me. They understood my scars, which was all just a lie. And so it took a lot for me to, what was the original question again? I don't want to get off track.
No, dude, you're good, man. It's not about like your big why, you know, why you do what you do over the years.
Okay. I thought that's what I was just wanting to make sure. So I'm saying all of this to say this. So I knew what my purpose was for a long time, but I ran from it and I wasn't willing to do the work. So here's the short version of it, because I know we don't have that much time. The short version is this. I battled mental health issues, being bipolar, being dyslexic, having ADHD. I was molested by men and women multiple times. I was physically abused. I was abandoned by my sisters, which was actually my father's fault. I never did anything about it, and I just internalized all of it. All of that hurt because I didn't have an outlet and didn't use my voice. Mm-hmm. Became this thing that poisoned my soul and caused me to start seeking ways to escape. And nothing worked. So every time I tried to turn my life around and then get back on track, and someone would say, you're always going to be a druggie. You're always going to be a cheater. You're always going to be a failure. You're always going to be this. You're always going to be that. I'd go, yeah, you're right. And then I would go back and double down on my addiction and self-abuse. And I would, and I hurt more and more and more people. It took 6 times being in jail for me to finally go, oh crap, what have I done? I was there, I was facing 5 years in jail, and I was put into isolation because the other thing that I haven't really shared a whole lot, I have talked about it on my show and I've shared it on stage, but not a lot of people know. But because I was trying to kill myself with drugs, like cocaine, methamphetamines, just abusing everything, because I was too big of a pussy to shoot myself in the head or to throw myself off a bridge. I decided I'm going to go out like a rock star and I'm going to see how many drugs I can do and try to kill myself that way so I can just die in my sleep and then just leave it there. Well, because of that just sick way of thinking, I put myself in a bad situation and got HIV. And so then proceeded I'm really going to try to kill myself now. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to jail the 6th time, I made the mistake of telling them that I was sick, thinking it was going to give me special privileges.
Right.
No, they put me in isolation. And let me just tell you, man, about someone like me. I was in the loony bin version of LA County. So I was in isolation where I couldn't see anybody, but I could hear all of the awful, horrific screams of the people next to me, the truly crazy people. And I'm like, okay, this was a mistake. So now I have no one to talk to.
Right?
Because the other times I'd been to jail, I made friends with, like, hey, dude, you want my peanut butter? Like, here you go. Like, I'm giving it to the guy that just done a murder in somebody or the guy that's like coming off of a 4-day meth high. Like, I'm making friends there, right? Because I don't want to get shanked and I know I'm getting out.
Right.
Well, this time I didn't know I was getting out and I was put in isolation. And so I can hear all their maddening screams and I'm going crazy because it's like vibrating my ears and making me just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I got in a shouting match with God the second day there. And and I'm like, why? Why won't you change me? Why won't you fix me like everybody else? Why can everybody else be saved from this crap but me? Why won't you fix me? Why? And I'm losing it. Now I know why I'm in isolation. But I'm just screaming at God. And then finally, I hear, you have to forgive your father. Well, how the hell am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to forgive him after what he did to me, what he did to my sisters, what he did to my brother, and what he did to my mom? How in the hell am I supposed to forgive him?
Mm-hmm.
Because it happened to him too.
Damn.
And that is when I finally started to say, oh my God, I've become just like my father. And I started to have compassion and started to see it from a different lens and like, oh my God, this happened to him too. And he didn't know to get help because men don't talk about being molested. Men don't talk about how being molested by men and women affect you in how you view sex and how you view love and relationships and how you view your self-worth. Men don't talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
That is when I asked for a Bible because I knew that for some reason, I don't know if I saw it on a prison show or not, but I was like, for some reason, I think they by law have to give me a Bible because they wouldn't give me a newspaper or books. So I got the Bible and And that is when I started reading, and none of it made sense. I mean, I got to be honest with you. The King James Version was like trying to read Chinese, and, you know, I barely speak English. And so right. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is hard, but I keep reading. And then I finally start finding some things that I understand, like John and, you know, Proverbs. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm doing that wrong, doing that wrong, doing that wrong. And so I start having a different conversation with God. And then I start realizing the power of forgiveness. And that is when I made a life choice. Is like, okay, listen, God, I've run from my purpose. I've known exactly what this is. You've shown me what I was supposed to do with my life. Every time I've hit the wall, every time I wanted to quit, every time I should have died, every time I wanted to say, F it, I'm done, you show me this vision. I know this is real now. And I made the decision that from behind bars, I was going to start fulfilling my purpose. I was going to start being Joshua and not Josh. And mm-hmm. I was going to step into the leader I was supposed to be. And I was going to start using my story of being abused, being an abuser, being a junkie, being a bankrupt idiot, being a violent, angry kid, being hurt, being broken, being scared, being mentally ill, all of it. I'm going to use all of mm-hmm. this and use my voice, and I'm going to use this to empower other people. I'm going to use all of this to relate to all the people that are behind bars, because guess what? They're going to look at me and my – I mean, at that time, I had like $4,000 boots on and like, you know, just like ridiculous. Right. Like I was dressed. I lived in LA.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, I looked every bit of the part of people looking at me like, what the heck are you doing here? You don't belong here. And I'm like, yeah, dude, actually I do. I'm no better than you. And in fact, the only difference between me and a lot of you is that, you know, you may have murdered somebody, but I was about that close. And I've done a lot worse than murder. And I noticed that even in jail that I had this ability to relate to people from all walks of life. And I had an old gang member, an OG, had a conversation with me that was so powerful. And he looked at me, he goes, if you get out of here — this is right before we were about to see the judge.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you get out of here, you have to promise me that you're going to fulfill what God created you to do, because you don't belong here. And it was a very powerful conversation for me to have. And somehow, by the grace of God, I didn't see the judge that day, and I got out. And so my why is this. I'm sorry for the long answer. I could have actually —
no, this is great.
There's a lot of stories there, honestly, but the truth is that my why is that it's not right what happens to kids, and it's not right what happens. Like, our parents and family members, like, you know, they don't know necessarily, like, they're starting to learn, and every generation learns new things. But, you know, a lot of your parents parent the way that they were taught to parent, the example that they have, you know. Then there's no perfect blueprint. There's no — you know, people didn't understand mental illness the way that they do now. There wasn't all of these different special needs back then that people understood. You know, and my why is too, is that now kids are over-sexualized, and there's a lot of hurting people out there, and there's a lot of people afraid mm-hmm. to use their truth, and a lot of people that are afraid to use their voice and say that I'm being hurt and I'm being touched inappropriately, or I'm being beaten, or I'm being made fun of, I'm being ridiculed, or I don't feel comfortable in my own body. Like, people are afraid to speak their truth. My why is to be a voice for the voiceless. My why is to help bring people out of the shadows and into the light. My why is to convince people that, because it's true, is that the truth, and living 100% of the truth, is the only way that you will ever, ever, ever experience what joy is. And everything that's held you back in your life, everything that's ever hurt you, everything that's ever made you feel weird and out of place, everything, every one of those things can mm-hmm. be used
to bring you joy, but you cannot do that until you start to use your voice and you start to live a 100% truth. And I here's the thing, 98% of the truth is not the truth. You will never, ever recognize, you will never recognize what God has in store for you until you're willing to use your voice and speak 100% truth. Because I kid you not, man, I'm a testament to this, because even when after I gave my life to Christ and even after I made the decisions that I made, that I'm going to start using my voice and I'm going to start trying, I want to empower people and I'm going to share my story, I was still hiding the fact that I had HIV and hiding the fact that I was an abuser. And because I thought, well, I'm trying to build an audience right now. I don't want to scare them away. You know, I want to wait till the right time. And I felt God nudging me, like going, hey, now's the time. Like, no, now's not the time. Right. Now's not the time. I need to build my audience first. But I also was very frustrated because the people that were coming into my life were not the right people. I was having deals fall through. I was having brands walk away from me. And I, you know, because they weren't comfortable with my message. But the truth was, I wasn't living my truth. So how in the world was I ever going to attract the right people to me? And I didn't understand that concept until I started doing leadership emotional intelligence training. And I really started to understand that the truth is the truth, and the truth is the only thing that remains the same. So if you're not, 98% of it is not the truth, you're still hiding, right. You know, and there was holes in my story that people didn't understand. There was gaps. And they would ask questions, and I'd find ways to dance around it or move away or allude to it instead of stepping into it and going, no. And the importance of me coming out and saying that I have HIV and saying that I was an abuser, not just abused, but that I was an abuser too, and that's why I went to jail twice, is because it's an important part of the story of helping other people step up and go, yeah, I am too. And this is what happens. This is a consequence of not having a voice. And so why the youth are so important to me in mentoring and teaching them to speak up. It's okay. If someone's hurting you, it's okay. It's okay to say I'm being hurt. It's okay to go to run to somebody you trust and say, this person is hurting me. It's okay to do that, because if you don't do it now and heal now, you're going to be looking back 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, 60 years later. And when you're so stubborn and ingrained in your own anger and rage and you're so ingrained and comfortable with the mask that you wear, the thought of joy doesn't even have meaning to you anymore. That's what you get to fix. That's what you get to break free from. And the longer you wait, the harder it is, because it's so hard to peel back that damn onion. That onion is painful to peel back. At 38, it was painful. But thank God I did it now and didn't wait till I was my father's age. And I'm dying from melanoma cancer, and I'm basically staging my funeral to make it look like I was a good man to try to leave some bullshit fake legacy that he did.
Yep.
And no disrespect to my father, but that's the truth. That's what he did because he was worried about what people thought instead of just changing his heart. Because once you change your heart and you start living the truth, guess what? It really doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Because you're being true. And let me tell you something else. When you live your truth, the people that you want in your life will come to your life. I've never in my life felt love the way I do now, that I walk and breathe truth. It's not comfortable talking what I talk about, but I also overcame these issues. I am not the same man because I'm comfortable walking in the truth. And professionally, my business life is better than ever because of living my truth. Now I get to be me unapologetically, and that's a beautiful thing, because now the people in my life are in my life, and I know for a fact that they're in my life because they love me for me, and I love them for them. That is a beautiful feeling, because I never have to worry about who has my back and who doesn't.
That's huge, man. That's wow, man. That was powerful.
I completely resonate and identify with everything except for that. I mean, I went to jail once, but you know, I was abused as a kid. My sisters, my mom, I watched her get punched in the face, you know, almost daily at the end of the five plus years before she actually got up enough courage to left. But I didn't deal with it. I ended up becoming an alcohol abuser. You know, I joined the military to find a purpose because I didn't have one. I graduated high school with a 1.9. I was working a dead-end job. I just joined the military because I needed to run away. I needed to, you know, whatever. Found even more alcohol, you know, and then it came to suicide, you know. So, you know, I was ashamed that I was a suicide survivor and I wouldn't tell anybody and I was ashamed. And then when I met other people like me, you know, I was like, wow, well, okay, well, maybe I can help them. And, you know, I look back at everything you just said, and I'm like, dude, yup, I felt that way. Yup, I felt that way. God, yup, I felt that way. And I think it's important for people to understand that you're never – there's no way that you're ever feeling something that someone else hasn't already felt. There's no way that what you're dealing with or what you think you're dealing with or what you think you're feeling has not already been felt in the world by at least one or two people. You know what I mean? And first of all, I was raised Roman Catholic, and then at 18 I was like, screw God, like whatever, I don't need that crap. You know what I mean? Well, my life was crap. In 2014, I surrendered my life to Christ. You know, and I learned that there's no way that you're gonna stump God at all and say, you know, I can't believe you did this to me. He's like, I did. No, you feel that way? Really? Like, he knows everything already. You know what I mean? And so I just looked at him as he's the kid with the magnifying glass, you know, burning ants. Like, that's what I thought God was, you know? But it's way different now. You know, way different. So, man, thank you for sharing that, man. I think I feel that everything that we're going through is preparing us for where we're going to. So yeah, we have to go through that hard stuff. I had to be abused. I had to abuse alcohol. I had to be a suicide survivor in order to become a drill instructor in the military that taught me how to be a public speaker, which I then learned resilience and went to learn how to talk about resilience to now having a radio show about resilience, about transformation, and I'm a resilient speaker. So had I not gone through that stuff, my life would be completely different. But you have to go through that other stuff in order to step fully into your purpose. And
yep,
it sounds like you've done exactly that.
Yeah, I have. And I'm doing it. David DiGiorgio, I'm stealing this from him, but it's because it's his mantra, but I'm doing it unapologetically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because I don't need to apologize for living the truth. And yeah, I'm going to alienate some people and I'm going to scare people off, but
sure,
you know, but it's also putting a mirror up to a lot of people's faces that need it. We need to talk about what's happening in the world because sexual abuse is a real thing. Physical abuse is a real thing. And how that shows up for us as adults, like, yeah, you know, for me, the sexual abuse and the physical abuse that had happened affected me in business. And you're like, well, how does that even make sense? Well, the way sales works and the way people sell and the way people communicate and the feeling of being manipulated or manipulating or the feeling of being controlled or controlling, the way it shows up for you in relationships, like it affects you in ways that in just your way of being, the way that you respond to when you're confronted or people ask you questions. It shows up, and a lot of people, we have so many blind spots as adults that really affect us and how we are. And so it's somewhat, we have to start speaking up. We have to start using our voices. And for anyone out there that believes that they don't have anything important to say, you think, well, God, my stuff is not that bad. I'm not hurt. I wasn't molested. I wasn't physically abused. I promise you. In fact, I swear to you that you have a message that someone needs to hear.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's one person or 690 or it's 5 billion. The fact is that you were born to your gifts. The gifts that you were given, the gifts that you were born with are not meant for you. They're meant for other people.
just like your story is meant to be shared for others. It's going to be a benefit to someone. And I'm going to give you a prime example of proof of it as how okay. why this is true. Everyone has a purpose in this world, every single person. And you're going to like, well, what about when I worked with complex disabilities, there was a one of the patients that I worked with. He was about 38, 39 years old. He's around my age. I mean, this is years ago, but he was about 38, 39. He had spent all 39 years of his life in a crib because his cerebral palsy was so bad. He could not communicate other than just making noises. He could not feed himself, could not bathe himself, could not do anything himself. And you're thinking, well, what purpose does he have? Well, you talk to his mother. His mother, she was about, golly, I swear to you, I think that if without his physical, you know, just the way that he you know, was real contracted, his mother was about 5'1". I think he was about 6'2". Her mother was about 5'1", and she was elderly. She had really bad rheumatoid arthritis, and had a humpback. It was like really, it was so sad. But she, I asked her, I was like, why doesn't he give up? Like how can he just stay like this? This has got to be miserable. She goes, oh, he is the happiest kid. And I'm like, well, how do you know? Just because when he hears me walking down the hall, when he hears me walking down the hall, he starts making, he just starts screaming and I don't want to make the noise because I don't want to like even pretend I'm mimicking, but
his
noise, and it was a noise, but she knew it was a happy noise, and he would move his hands back and forth really, really fast the closer she got, and he would be so excited that drool would come out of his mouth. Like, he was just so excited to see her.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, I prayed to God. She goes, I wasn't supposed to have children, but I prayed to God every day that I was going to have a little boy.
Wow.
You tell me that you don't have a purpose. If that little boy had a purpose, you do too.
Oh, yeah. That's huge, man. Yeah, so I always refer to Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you, because forever I was like, I don't have a purpose, forever. I don't have any purpose. I have nothing to do with my life. You know, my life is just in shambles, you know. And there was one, even when I was, you know, going to church and Catholic church and all that, the one thing that always stuck out to me was, for I know the plans I have for you. And I said, what are they? Tell me. What are they? You know, and then my friends, you know, who were all believers, and I would always make fun of them. And he's like, you know what? Lean that on your own understanding. You don't need to figure it out. That's none of your business how it's going to happen. The fact is, it's going to happen, but it's none of your business how it happens. And then when I look literally today, dude, like this year has been really kind of tough in my mind and in my emotions, because this is the year that I was getting kicked out of the military, 2008, 10 years ago. This is like the anniversary, 10-year anniversary of me getting ready to get kicked out of the military. My wife and I were divorcing, and I tried to take my life. Like, this is it. And so as the date starts getting closer, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. 10 years ago, I was ready to end my life, and now look at all the cool stuff that I've been able to do and been blessed with. You know, so, man, when I think about that, like, for I know the plans I have for you, you know, and I just keep thinking, like, I look back 10 years, and the plan has been unveiled. But when you're going through the dark, you just don't see it. You don't know. You don't understand. 10 years later, I understand now.
I love that, man.
So,
and it's not always
interested.
Revealed. It's not always revealed. You're right. And it's frustrating sometimes. And but you do, I do think that there's a way of speeding things up.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I definitely think there's a way of getting your own way, you know, trying to control it, trying to force it yourself. But there is something to say about giving it to God. And I know that that can be cliche for some people to hear, but you're not in control of really what's happening in your life anyway, even though it likes to feel like we are. But
Like I honestly think even if you're not, if somebody's not a believer, just following the basic principles of what the Bible teaches is like the greatest, you know, guidebook for how to live your life, you know? And so, okay. So say you're not someone that reads the Bible. Okay. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you do wake up in the morning just saying thank you for the things that you do have and the blessings that you do have, that's a great way to start. Just stopping to take the time to say thank you, because everything in your life, like wherever you are in the world, like we're in America, and that in itself is a blessing. Like, and you know, but if you have food on your plate and you're, and that's a blessing. If you have a family and friends, that's a blessing. Like if you're not incarcerated, that's a blessing. But even if you are, you know, there's blessings there too. And just stopping to say thank you for that sometimes is enough to create a different, you know, perspective on your life. Because I'm not going to say that life is easy. There's always going to be problems. There's always ups and downs. But like shifting your perspective to look at when you don't get the job you want, or you're expecting that you're about to sign a deal with, you know, a massive distribution deal and it falls through, you truly get to trust that that door closed for a reason, because something, another opportunity is opening itself for you. But if you are focused on, oh, my life sucks, it fell through, what am I, how am I going to pay rent? Right. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do, if you focus on that, you may miss that opportunity that was created for you through that closed door. You just have to trust. The universe and God is not out to get anyone. We are all, there's abundance for all of us. Mm-hmm. There's abundance of friends. There's abundance of family. There's abundance of love. There's abundance. It's all there for you. But if you're focused on the minute negative thing that happened to you, you may not see the blessing that is around you, that was created for you, that's waiting right in front of you, but you missed it.
Right. Yep. And Tony Robbins, one of his most famous sayings is, where focus goes, energy flows. So if you focus on the negatives, then, you know, you're going to have negative energy. You're going to bring negative energy. You're going to attract negative energy. But if you focus on the positives in life, then you'll see the positives, and you start reprogramming your mind to focus on those positive things, those blessings, you know. And when you can hunt the good stuff in every single situation, you know, when I talk about gratitude on stage, I talk about hunting the good stuff. When you can hunt the good stuff in every single situation and figure out why this is good, like you were saying, and I love that. Why is this good? You know, who contributed to it? Maybe you add, you know, who contributed to this blessing? Was it just me, or was it somebody? You know, you're looking for a new leads, new sales. You know, you're trying to build this business and something's just not happening. And one guy you talk to for 15 minutes unlocks, like, oh, dang it, I needed that. Thank you. And then boom, all of a sudden it becomes, you know, 5X, 10X. When you can hunt the good stuff in every situation, you're right, man. It's a new perspective and it reprograms your mind. And I think that you do a really good job of doing that with your show, Morning Gratitude. And, oh man, I could talk. We talk for hours, like hunting the good stuff, you know, when and doors closing and all that. But what I wanted to say was, you know, when you talk about that right there, I have a saying. It's called "Live Your Bram," which basically means find opportunities every day to live out those beliefs and live out those core values. And now, listening to you, I would even say live out your truth. But living your brand is living your core values and living your beliefs out every single day and finding opportunities to live those out. You know, I love it when my wife's in line for Starbucks and somebody in front of her pays for the coffee. And I'm like, all right, now we got to pay for the next person. And it just goes all the way down the line. Like
love that.
Five people got their coffee bill. You know what I mean? Like, that's so cool. You know,
it is cool.
So I fully absorb everything that you're saying, and I want people to live their brand, you know, find opportunities every day to live the values, you know, whether it be personal values, business values, live the values that you have deep in your heart and the beliefs about yourself. Live those out and live, like you said, live your truth. Damn, I love that. Ooh, I got chills just now. That's awesome. Huge, man. So that was amazing, man. So I'm curious, man, you know, what are some of the resources that you use going through all that? You're in jail, you talked about the Bible, like what other resources would there be out there? You know, there's a suicide hotline, there's a victim advocate hotline, there's hotlines for everything. But if somebody's listening to this going, I feel this way, I'm being hurt this way, you know, I'm trying to step into my purpose, but I don't know what my purpose is. You know, what were some resources that you would recommend somebody?
You know, it's funny. I guess I should be embarrassed to say this, but I never relied on a hotline. You know, for me, it's, I do a lot of writing. I did a lot of reading. You know, one of the things too, because I've been blessed with the gift of vision, but I thought I was insane for a long time. I reading Code of the Extraordinary Mind was huge for me, from Vision, from mindvalley.com. That was really what helped me believe that convinced me that I wasn't crazy, because I want to say this too, because I know there's other visionaries that listen. It's real. First of all, those visions that you get, they're real. Yeah. Don't be afraid of them. And in fact, if you don't own that gift, you'll lose it. And so believing that you're not crazy, and if you have visions, you get to embrace those and really step into that. And that's part of stepping into your person, your purpose. As far as church groups, I'm going to be honest with you too about something. Like, I'm blessed to have an amazing church in San Diego, the Rock. You know, I went to Life Church in Oklahoma, and I always watched church online. I never really found a church home. And I struggled. I would go to Bible studies and I felt judged. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like they were looking at me going, oh, he's gross. He's sick in the head. I'm like, wait a second. What happened to this whole you're forgiven thing? Right. And so that was hard. And it's hard to refer people to church, because finding the right church has been very, very tough. I have to be, I would be lying to you if I said anything different, and I refuse to lie. I read the Bible every day. My quiet time is everything to me. I have reminders in my phone to stop and pray, because honestly, I need to do it. Sometimes I just get caught up in what's happening around me. The most powerful thing I've ever done, which really helped me transform my limiting beliefs and actually got me so much closer to God, because I'm a follower of Christ, not the religion. I'm a follower of Christ. Right. I follow Christ's teaching, not religion. But yeah, I could be classified as a Christian, but I just was fortunate to find a church that was, I was nourished. I got the teachings I wanted. It has amazing resources at it. But the thing that helped me break through was leadership, emotional intelligence training. And it helped me learn to shift the way I thought. It helped me remove and almost exercise those past demons and limiting beliefs. And that was really, really powerful for me. The other thing too on my show that I say often is, if you go to Joshua T. Berglund's Morning Gratitude and watch, you'll see this. I tell people, you're welcome to message me and I will pray for you. I'm not a counselor. Awesome. I'm not a therapist, but I do have an open invite to pray for people, because I do believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in praying for specific things, not, hey, pray for me. Well, like, what do you want me to pray for? You grow hair.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to pray for you to give me $1 million. I mean, what do you want? Like, specifically, if you tell me what to pray for and it doesn't go past that message, I'll pray for you. I didn't call any hotlines. I really struggled with groups because I didn't trust people. So I have to remain true to that. I know there's amazing resources out there. I know. But some people are complex. Some people have trust issues. Some people
you know, have a lot of limiting beliefs and are afraid to put themselves out there. So, you know, and I'm not somebody too, like even with, you know, your AA groups and things like that. The most powerful thing I ever did to help me break free from, you know, that desire to go abuse myself with drugs and alcohol and sex. And the most powerful thing I did outside of giving my life to Christ and surrendering to that I'm no longer in control, the most powerful thing I've done was go to the Ascension Leadership Academy in San Diego. It set me free. And my faith is stronger than ever. I'm, as a man, stronger. I'm a powerful, authentic, and loving leader. And because that's what I was created to be, and I can step into that without fear now. And that's beautiful. That's why I can sit here and casually talk about being an abuser and having HIV. It's not, it's not that I'm desensitized to the fact that that is what a reality for me is. But I mean, I'm not an abuser anymore, but I did to right. step into that and own that I've been that guy, that I've been angry enough and I didn't have the self-control enough to be able to freaking stop, you know, to allow someone else's words or actions to affect me where I let it consume me and take my power from me, that I would transfer it in a bit of rage. The fact that I can talk about that is because of the emotional intelligence training I've done. It was profound for me.
Ah, man, I love emotional intelligence, man. And I think it's very underrated. And one of the people that just comes to mind when I hear emotional intelligence is Jen Groover. She's a TEDx speaker,
yep.
workshop, you know, emotional intelligence. Like she, who I know, and I'm sure there's amazing other people, but in my network, you know, Jen Groover, if I ever had an emotional intelligence question, now I could add you to the list. But she would be, you know, my go-to person. You know, Jen Groover is you know, emotional intelligence expert. Dude, this has been amazing. Huge, man. I, the conversation went where I didn't think it was going to go, which makes the show what it is, man. Raw, real, authentic, genuine conversations, man. I love, you know, when I started the show, you know, God put it on my heart that says you need to start the show, and here's the name of the show. Like, I already knew what it was going to be. I already had a vision. Like, this is all his work, you know, and someone's going to listen to the show and they're going to reach out and it's going to change their life. I know it's going to happen. So with that said, man, you know, talk about where you're headed now, what kind of new adventures, businesses, family, and we'll wrap the show.
Yeah. So I've been doing the Joshua T. Berglund's Morning Gratitude, live stream podcast radio show. I've been doing that now and it's growing every week, which is a blessing. It's a lot of fun. We are getting ready to start doing more on the street stuff, doing interviews like live remotes, which is so exciting. I'm doing a business podcast now called the Live Mono Worldwide podcast, which is kind of it goes into what I do professionally. And it's probably the most different business podcast that you can ever imagine, because it's all over the place like me. Now I am organized chaos to say the least.
Yeah.
But I like that because I'm getting to work with celebrity events and working, being a part of, I have the MTV Movie Awards coming up that I help produce, and now the Billboard Music Awards, which is something else that I'm involved in, which is really, really exciting. And the, you know, the Grammys, the Emmys, I do all of those events. It's great. And working with brands, which is great. But I've really made the decision that I'm going to go all in on finishing my book called Gratitude Unfiltered, and also going to be organizing some events that are going to be pretty disruptive in this space, which I'm really excited about. And then also we're developing the TV show. I have a concept for the TV show that some networks are looking at, which is exciting, but I've made the decision to produce it myself, because it's very important for me to control the message, because the message wasn't my idea. It's something that, look, people don't like it when you talk about Jesus on TV, and people don't like it when you talk about, you know, dark, dark parts of the world, even if the intent is to uplift and inspire. Mm-hmm. So I have a very particular message that I want to deliver on the show and the population around the world that I want to help with it. So we've made the decision for me to produce it myself. And then I have a network that is a global network, is a really cool technology that is wanting to back and distribute the content. So now we're just working with sponsors. I don't want to take just any sponsor. It's very important that the sponsors align with it. You don't have to believe the way I believe, but I don't want liquor companies sponsoring the show,
right?
Or, you know, Adam and Eve sex toys. Like, I don't need them to sponsor the show. I'd like to take their money, but I want to when I work with sponsors, when I bring sponsors to a celebrity or to an event, their visions need to be in line and complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you sit up there? How do I talk about, you know, homelessness and poverty and addiction? And how do I talk about that, but yet the main sponsor of my show is Don Julio Tequila? You know what I mean? So
yeah, right.
I can't in good faith do that. So we're looking for the right sponsors, and I know that God's going to bring them to us. And then that show will develop. And, you know, from there, it's going to be more speaking. You know, I'm going to write multiple books, and, you know, I'm going to be the white, better looking version of TD Jakes.
Wow. Okay. I like that.
So, I mean, so movie producing, being in movies, having a talk show, empowering people, writing books. But I want my career to be defined, not what I did business wise, but the people's lives I touched and the people I brought out of the darkness. I am not a savior. I am not Jesus. I'm not Buddha. I'm not Allah. I'm none of those people, but I am somebody that God spared his life for a very specific reason. So I plan on fulfilling what I was called to do unapologetically, relentlessly, and with a heart for people. Because look, there's very few people that I cannot relate to. And there's people that really, really do need a message of hope and a blueprint for how to escape the hell that they're living. And I am intending to do this all over the world.
Dude, I love that, dude. It's going to happen.
Oh, I know.
I've been following since Vegas, man, and just in the past couple of months, I'm like, dude, this guy's everywhere, and I love your message anyway. So
thank you.
So this is the end of the show where you do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quote, websites, your Facebook, your products. Tell people where they can find you. So this is your time to shine. I mean, you're doing it all episode, but shameless plug moment. Go.
Oh, just check. Please support the show. Look up Joshua T. Berglund's Morning Gratitude. Just Google it. It's all over the place. I don't care what platform you do, because honestly, I appreciate every audience. Google Play is great. Spreaker is great. Spotify is great. iTunes is great. But what I really do love is the people that come over and join the conversation on Facebook, because you can interact and ask questions with the guests. You can ask me questions. And that's also where you can send me your prayer request. So if you just look up Joshua T. Berglund's Morning Gratitude, everything I said, I stand by. Like, if you send me a prayer request, I give you my word. I will pray for you. And if you want to join the show and ask questions, love it. Please do. And then also just check out my website, live, L-I-V-E, Mana, M-A-N-A, worldwide.com.
Boom. Nailed it. So we always close the show with a call to action. So what should someone do today to transform their life? We talk about life transformation. What should someone start doing today to make that happen?
That person that you don't like, that person that gets on your nerves, that person that you hate, I want you to do something. The situation that is frustrating you beyond belief, I want you to write down the five things that you cannot stand about that person or situation. And then I want you to write down five things that you love about them. what you're going to find is this. Those things that you don't like, those things that you can't stand, are the things that you don't like about yourself. Those things that you love, those things that you feel, you know, like you're just grateful for that person for, those five things are the things that you love about yourself. So when you're dealing with somebody that's frustrating the crap out of you and you just want to scream or you want to end your relationship, you're giving up on your girlfriend, you're giving up on your wife, you're giving up on your husband, you're giving up on your boyfriend, you're giving up on a family member, a coworker, a boss, just know that if you run from that situation without resolving it, it will follow you for the rest of your life. So now is an opportunity for you to reframe that situation by looking at it going, man, maybe this is how I'm showing up. Maybe this is how I'm showing up for that person.
Right.
We're all mirrors for each other.
Mm.
And when you understand that, it will shift your perspective and it will dramatically change your relationships. I'm telling you right now. And it'll also make forgiving that much easier.
Dude, that's awesome. Holy crap, what a call to action. Dude, thank you so much for being on the show, man. I got freaking goosebumps like most of the time, man. I was like, holy crap. So, dude, you are an absolute rock star. I mean, you're literally living – excuse me, I'm getting choked up, man. You're living your truth, man. And dude, I wish you the best, man, like in everything that I feel like I've got another side of you. You know, I got the guy on stage and I got the guy who really wants to help. But now I've got like a different side, you know, and I'm just drawn. Maybe that's why people are so drawn to you. You're just real, raw, authentic, and you're going to change lives, man. You're going to change lives.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing, powerful episode. You gotta connect with Joshua Berglund. The guy is as real as they come. All of the links are in the show notes right here. You can subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music app, wherever you're comfortable subscribing to. Subscribe to my show, Life Transformation Radio, but also subscribe to The Morning Gratitude. You got to find this show. You can't live without it. So as we close the show, I always say live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live up the values you hold deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. And as Josh says, live your truth. Until next episode, have a great night.